Father, we thank you for this sweet moment with you. Your presence is here. Power is here. Your purpose is being revealed. Destiny is being unleashed. Millennials and young adults are stepping into their purpose. In this very moment, I thank you that tonight will mark someone. Tonight will be a night that they will never forget. I thank you tonight that you're going to speak something in their spirit that they've been waiting to hear. I thank you that you're going to affirm and confirm some things that you've been wanting to say. Now, Father, I pray that you would posture our hearts tonight in an open position. I come against every stony wall, every stony ground, every mental block, every spirit of distraction, every demonic oppression, every suicidal spirit, every principality in high places. You must come down tonight. This is your house, God. This is your moment, God, to speak to your people. We bless you for that. And the matchless, mighty, wonderful name that is above every name. And that name is Jesus. If you believe that, somebody release a praise out of your mouth. Just release a praise. Wow. Hallelujah. Stay right there. Don't y'all move. You just stay right there. I just feel something kicking in the supernatural right there. Can I just prophesy to you tonight? Can I do that? I just want to give you something prophetic. I want to give you a little something. I want to give you something that God has given me to give to you. If you would, just run to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. If you've got a Bible, go there. If not, they're going to show it on the screen. If you can't see it on the screen, ask your neighbor so you can see what God has to say tonight. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shophat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 13th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. And Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elisha. "Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah said. "What have I done to you?" "I didn't do nothing to you. Why are you trying to follow me? Why are you chasing after me? I didn't do nothing to you. Why are you deciding to follow me?" So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. And then I want to just add a little bit of New Testament there too. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." For many are called, but few are chosen. Tonight, I believe God has sent me here to speak to some chosen people, some Elijahs, some Elishas, some people who really believe that God has something that he's created them to do here. I truly believe that when young adults show up at churches, Pastor, especially young adults who have a choice, they understand that God has put something inside of them that's special, and they don't have time to waste. So when they come to church, they're looking for something, they're listening for something, they're watching for something. You came in this room not because it was just chosen, not because this conference, you came because you know you need a word from God. You know you got something on the inside that God has been doing and changing and challenging you, and you know that God has something for you to do. Because many are called, but the ones who answer the call are the chosen ones. Tonight you've answered the call by being in this room. So I have no choice but to believe that you are the chosen few. You are the Elishas of the next generation. You are the Elishas that will follow and that will chase and will learn from the generation before you. Now, I want to say something to this generation. I want to say something. God has given me some real strong things to say to the millennial generation, and it is very challenging at times, so I just want you to get your big boy face and your big girl face together, because I'm going to say some things that's going to challenge you and pull you out of your comfort zone, but I really believe it's from the Lord, and if you hear what thus says the Lord, I believe that your journey would be smoother, and I believe that you can get to where God is trying to take you and how he's trying to use you much faster without the issues, without the setbacks, without the traps, without the snares that the enemy has set for you. Because you know John 10:10 says the enemy cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. Even after you get saved, he still tries the same things. He still wants to kill, steal, and destroy. The moment you said yes to Jesus, do you understand when you said yes to Jesus? Do you understand when you said yes to salvation? Do you understand when you said yes, I want the Holy Ghost, that the enemy declared war on you, and he said, now I have to really turn up the heat. I really got to come after him now. So I'm going to send that relationship that's no good to be a distraction in their lives. I'm going to send that job that will take them out of church where they can't focus and come into the house of God. I'm going to send that person and become a distraction. I'm going to cause that family member not to believe in them, and they're going to be so choked up and so angry that people don't believe in them that they can't even flow in what God called them to do. This is the enemy of our soul. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. And I believe that if you hear what the Lord says to you tonight, God's going to speak some things into your spirit that's going to help you get on the right path. Tonight, I want to speak to you from the subject, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Yeah. I want you to get a whatever it takes anointing in your spirit tonight. I want you to get a whatever it takes, because Elisha saw something. Elisha saw something. He saw something. I remember when my youth pastor saw something in me. I remember when he walked past me. I remember the day when I was 15 years old and didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and I was pulling the fire alarms to make the building, just messing stuff up on purpose and trying to get girls to leave the service with me and passing notes to the left and to the right, passing notes to this girl and that girl, trying to be there for a whole different reason other than Jesus. And the day that my youth pastor saw something inside of me, he saw something inside of me, and he walked past me and he says, I see something in you, Ontario. I see God doing something inside of you, Ontario. I see that you're much greater than what you're doing. Why are you making these choices? Why are you making these decisions? Do you understand that God has a call on your life? Elijah showed up and he threw his mantle on me. He touched me. He said something to me. He didn't touch me with his coat, but he touched me with his spirit. And something in his spirit caused something in my spirit to leap, because I realized that God had created me for something more. And you know that God has called you for something more. And now the man of God, Elisha, has been struck by a mantle. Now let's talk about this mantle for a moment, because I believe that we need to make sure that we take full advantage of the mantles that God has given us. Do you understand that there is a generation that is growing tired, that they are getting older, that God is calling them to pass a baton to this next generation that is ready to do ministry? We need you to be mean, lean, and ready to fight the devil. We need you to be on your Holy Ghost. We need you to get some Holy Ghost power to when you pray for somebody in a grocery store that they can be saved and healed. We need you to know the prayer of salvation. We need you to know how to fill someone with the Holy Spirit. We need you to understand that God has called you and gifted you for such a time as this, and that you're not next, but you are now. You are now. No more wasting time, because the mantle is about to drop on you. There's no more wasting time. You don't have time not to know your Bible. You don't have time not to know your scripture and your passion. You don't need to know. You need to figure out what God created you for and understand your purpose and begin to grow in it. Because now is your time. This is the largest population in the country. We have 83 million millennials nationwide. That is the largest population of people that has ever existed in one generation, and they are churchless. They say they would rather not go to church. They would rather not associate with religious practices at all, and most of them say, I don't do anything. And there is a generation that is out there waiting on you. They're waiting on the sons and the daughters of God to be revealed, and for you to step into your purpose and step into your destiny and realize that what God has put on your pastor, that he's ready to release on you, and that your pastor is not the only person who is called to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, but you are called too. Elisha. We're looking for Elisha. Where is Elisha? Where is the Elisha who gets excited about the mantle? Where is Elisha who gets excited about being mentored? Where is Elisha who gets excited about being poured into by the older generation? Where is Elisha who values the anointing that sits on the man of God, who values and would not speak against the man of God, who would not say anything that would bring disrespect or dishonor or disreverence or irreverence to the man of God? Where are the Elishas who will get rowdy and straight up get hood up in here if somebody talks bad about your pastor or his wife? We're looking for Elisha. Elisha, are you in this room? Are you here? Are you in the building? Elisha, I'm looking for the next Elisha. I'm looking for the next prophet. I'm looking for the next son and daughter of God. I'm looking for the next preacher. I'm looking. God is searching this world. He's looking for the sons and daughters to reveal themselves. He's looking for you to stop being so scared. I'm from Dallas. I said scared. Yes, I did. He's looking for you to stop being so fearful and embrace the fact that he called you, that he anointed you, that he's appointed you for such a time as this, and that if he touched you with a mantle, a man of God, mantle, man of God, his anointing, if he's valued you enough to pour into you, if someone has valued you enough to pour into you, understand that God wants to use you. So there's a few things that Elisha, you've got to do, Elisha, if you're going to receive this impartation that God has for you. First off, you got to receive. Somebody say receive. Yeah, you got to receive. The only way that you can receive a gift is having your hands open and low. You cannot receive with your hands raised and your head up. Pride. You must, if you're going to receive the mantle, if you're going to catch the baton, your hand is low and theirs is high. Ever seen a sprinter, a four by one relay? Yeah. The guy who started running, his responsibility is to place the baton in the hand of the person that he's about to run to. Now, he puts the baton in the hand of someone who starts running when they look back and see that they're running for them. This is personal responsibility. This says, I see you coming, God, and I'm going to start moving by faith, believing that you're doing something with me, and I'm moving. I'm in motion. You know why? Because God will never waste his anointing on someone who's sitting still. Yeah, I came to fight tonight. I want to pull you out of your comfort zone. I want to see you get everything that God called you to be. I want to see Joplin saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see everyone in this room leave this place believing that you are now and not next. Get your feet moving. Elisha starts moving his feet. He sees something on the man of God. And now the baton is about to be passed. And notice when the baton is passed in the 4x100, his hand has to be low and he has to be leaning and moving at the same time. But he has to humble himself and not move too fast because he has to be able to receive the exchange. He's waiting for the baton to hit his hand, but he's in motion. He's moving. And now as he's moving, his hand is low, and the person that's about to exchange the baton hand is high. And if his hand is low and his is high, the exchange can be made. And now something great can happen. The race can continue to be won, and the race can continue to be ran if the baton is passed the right way. The problem is that sometimes we're not in the proper position to catch the baton. And if we don't get in the proper position to catch the baton, we drop the baton, and now we have to start the race over. When there's a ministry that's already been established, someone's labor, prayer, sweat, and tears, someone's walked the community already and sought the Holy Ghost and prayed in tongues walking down the streets, and they're ready to pass that work over to you. And if we get so consumed with running our own race because we don't want to run the relay race, because we'd rather get the medal for ourselves than to share it with a team, we will miss all the work and the labor that has been poured out. You must, number one, receive. Somebody say receive. Elisha must receive. Number two, Elisha must grieve.
Oh, this is good.
Elisha must grieve. If you're going to step forward into purpose, if you're going to step forward into the destiny, if you're going to walk in the footsteps that God has anointed and appointed for you to walk in, because God said he's going to be a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. We understand that. And if you're going to walk in those footsteps, the grieving process must start because you decided to leave something. Yeah, you can't leave. You can't do this thing the right way. So when you receive, you decide to leave. He said, I got to go kiss my mom and my dad goodbye. I got to say bye, because I understand that God has called me to do something amazing. He's called me to do something great, and I know that I got to make a choice now. And when I decide to leave, leaving is a decision that you make that causes grieving. When you leave right, it usually leads to grieve, because when you grieve, that means that whatever it is that you were connected to has now died in your life, and you've realized that God has moved you forward into some new things. Do you understand? God has some relationships that are waiting on you to leave the ones that you were in and grieve it so that God can bring you something new. I realized that I knew that God was doing something great in my life when he started changing my friend circles before I moved into the position, into the authority that God is moving us into now. My wife and I, our friendships have changed. The people that are connecting with us have changed. We don't hang with the same people anymore. God is not allowing us to connect with the same people anymore. God is calling us to a different crowd of people. And when we decided to stop fussing and crying over everything that left and over everybody that wasn't there anymore and over everyone that we couldn't have in our lives anymore, and we turned our back and began to move towards where God told us to walk, we understood and saw new relationships. We saw great things happening. We saw great opportunities coming before us. Elisha has to leave. He has to grieve. Then Elisha has to cleave. He has to cleave. He received. He left. He grieved. Now Elisha has to cleave. There is that moment. Can I borrow you, Pastor? There is that moment when you realize the weight that is on the Elijah that God has placed in your life. The anointing that sits on the man of God that he's placed in your life. And there is a moment where you acknowledge it, you receive it, you've left those connections that you had, and now you've decided to cleave to it. That means that you switch your position and you step behind Elijah, because now I need to learn what you learned, Elijah. David, I called you to be a king. But you can't be a king until you go play the harp for Saul. Because there's some things about the kingdom you need to learn before I put you there. And I want you to watch somebody who's walking in the position, who's walking in the anointing, who's walking in the purpose that God has called you to, who's doing the thing that you're going to be doing one day. And now I'm watching and I'm walking. I'm watching and I'm walking. I mean, I'm watching and I'm walking and I'm learning what he does. When he makes a step, I make a step. When he stretches his hand, I stretch my hand. When he prays for someone, I'm behind him praying for him as well. See, this can't happen if you don't decide to cleave to the man of God. And where he goes, I go. You're not going to separate me from my Elijah. Elisha, let me tell you something. It was such a tough process for Elisha to let Elijah go that when he left, when he met him, he wanted his mantle. I want a double portion of what you got, Pastor. I want everything you've done times two in Jesus' name. I want all your work I wanted. I want to take it and double it. By the time he had cleaved to the man of God and began to love him and began to support everything that he supported, began to pray for his family, began to intercede for the things that concerned him. By the time all of that happened, eventually, when God began to take Elisha and caught him up in the whirlwind, Elisha cried out to Elijah and said, "My father, my father." He didn't say, the mantle, I need that double portion. Don't you leave without giving me that double, hey, need that double portion, homie. He grieved his father because he loved the man more than he loved the mantle. Thank you, Pastor. The question that I have is, yes, I know you're anointed. Yes, I know you're appointed. Yes, I know that you've got something great on the inside. But the real question is what are you willing to sacrifice in order to be what God called you to be? What are you willing to give up to walk in the purpose that God called you to walk in? And who are you willing to follow to get there? Are you willing to get behind Elijah? Because there's some things Elisha just doesn't understand quite yet. And Elisha will make the mistake of receiving the mantle and thinking that that's all that was to it. But there's some experience that Elijah has, that Elisha hasn't experienced yet, that he can pass off to Elisha and cause Elisha to avoid pitfalls in life, or cause him to excel at things that he steps into. See, people ask me all the time, how did this move so fast for you? How did you step into this? How are you working for Bishop Jakes? And how is this working? And how are you having success doing what you're doing? It's because I never forgot my Elijah. I stand behind my Elisha. I serve my Elijah. Do you understand? Do you know what Elisha's responsibility was when he followed the man of God? He had but one job. You know what that was? To pour water on the man of God's hands. He just poured water and made sure his hands were clean. And guess what? Elijah ended up doing double what Elisha did, which means that he had the double portion on him. See, the question is can you know that you have the double portion on you and still be humble enough to still serve the man of God? Because there is this thing called pride that rises up in a lot of us. And I'll talk about it because I don't hear a lot of people talking about this thing called pride. And let me tell you something. The Bible, when you go and look up the word pride, when you go and look up the word proud, you never find a positive connotation behind the word pride or proud. I used to tell my children when I was little, I'm so proud of you. You're such a great kid. You're doing such a great job. And God challenged me on that. He says, I want you to look up the scriptures and I want you to find a positive connotation of the word pride or proud. And everywhere I looked, I saw God resist the proud, but he exalts the humble. I saw that he resists the proud look. I saw all these scriptures, and it began to mess with my head, Pastor. And I said, wait a minute. And then God took me to the big moment, the big bang, the big opportunity for God to tell his son how proud he was of him. You remember when the Holy Spirit came from the sky like a dove? Jesus was in the Jordan, down in the river, with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is about to baptize Jesus. How intimidating is that? And he's taking him underwater, and as he comes up from the water, his father finally peeks his face into the earth, to let his son hear his voice for the first time audibly. And he says the unthinkable. He didn't say, "This is my beloved son in whom I am proud of." He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So why am I telling you this? Because I believe that there is a spirit of pride and a spirit of haughtiness that keeps us from embracing the Elijah in our lives. And because we embrace this spirit of pride, it becomes a self-motivated thing where we begin to see ourselves and it's us that's doing the work. It's me. And now I'm excited about what I have done. And it's not about the Spirit of God doing it through me. It's about me doing it on my own. So now we have such a haughtiness about ourselves as a generation, and we are taught to be proud. We are taught to be prideful of everything that we do. But can I tell you, God kicked pride out of heaven one time. He can't have it back again. Lucifer said, "I must ascend unto the hill of the Lord. I want my name to be hallowed. I want to be worshipped. I want to be praised in heaven." And the Bible says that he was cast from heaven like a bolt of lightning down into the earth. And he was so convincing with his pride, he caused a third of the other angels to be prideful too. And they rose up in pride and they were expelled from heaven as well. This pride thing must come under, because if you don't take a hold of it, it's going to keep you from being able to receive and walk into the purpose that God has called you to. There are some things that you will not learn unless you connect to your Elijah. There are some things that you will not understand unless you connect to your Elijah. And on the moment you allow the enemy to talk you into coming off from behind your Elijah is the moment you fall and stumble. Because God called him to be out in front and for you to follow him and serve him. How well do you serve? I went to a church, small apostolic church of about 30 members for about 3 years, pastor. I had some personal things I needed to deal with. I had some things I needed the Lord to really dig down and deep inside of me, and I needed my marriage to be saved because my wife and I were fighting like cats and dogs because we got married at 19 and had no idea what it meant to be saved and married at the same time because neither one of us had a proper example. So we said "I do," but really we really meant "I don't know," because we had no clue what we had gotten ourselves into. And we went to this small apostolic hole in the wall church where this pastor was there. He was ex-military, and he began to instruct us and tell us what thus says the Lord about marriage, and he began to speak into us. And I came to him. I remember this. I had graduated all the classes at Potter's House, and I was so good about what I knew, and I knew the word left and right, and I was ready. And I went to that pastor and I said, "Pastor, I'm anointed and appointed. I'm a man of God, and I'm called to preach to the nations. I am a preacher. One day God will call me to preach, sir." He said, "Oh, praise God, brother. I'm so humbled to hear that. Follow me." I said, "Praise God, this brother's got the message. Hallelujah." He takes me to the bathroom. He sits me down at the toilet on the floor next to the toilet. I said, "Pastor, what are we doing here?" He said, "I want you to learn how to clean these restrooms." And he began to clean the toilet himself with a suit on, with Comet and bleach and towels and hot water and buckets. And it took him about 30 minutes to clean it the right way. And I'm scratching my head saying, "God, why are you doing this to me? I'm called to preach." And he looked at me and he said, "I can tell you're bothered." I said, "Yeah, I am, because I told you I was called to preach and I'm called to ministry." He says, "Well, these bathrooms are ministry too. And when people come to church, they need a clean place to sit down on when they come to these restrooms. And if our restrooms aren't excellent, they may not come back. So here's a toilet bowl brush. I want you to preach this toilet bowl brush while you're cleaning these toilets, and we'll see how good you do." "Pastor, I thought it was a test." So got a little testy test, just a little testy test. Little testy test, God, just a little testy test. Okay, all right, God, I can do the little testy test. Little test. He came and checked the bathroom the next week, and I didn't clean it right. He got down in that same suit, clean the whole thing all over again as if I hadn't cleaned it at all, and said, this is how you clean the bathroom if you're going to clean it. If you're not going to do it right, I will do it for you. And it convicted me so bad that that older man was down on his hands and knees cleaning the bathroom a second time because I didn't do it right. I started to clean that restroom right. And I said, God, how long? I sat in the bathrooms cleaning them for 6 months, and I'm anointed. I asked, could I go out on the prayer mission? He said, no, you can't. Clean the bathrooms. Get your marriage healthy. Learn the word of God. I said, but I know the word of God. He says, you don't know it good enough because your marriage is messed up. See, you need an Elijah. See, you need an Elijah that'll get up in your face and say, I'm not impressed with you. I'm not impressed with what you got. I'm going to tell you what you need to know so you can grow. Months cleaning toilets, no prayer, no mime, no drama, no nothing. I used to do mime. Told him I was mime. I don't have to say nothing. I don't have to say nothing. No, I don't want you to do nothing. I just want you to clean bathrooms. 6 months passed. He says, I'm ready to promote you. You've been faithful over a few. It's time to make you. It's time to take you up. I said, well, praise God. Was he taking me to the evangelism ministry? Am I going to get out on the streets now? Am I going to get to tell somebody about Jesus finally? Is he going to let me pray in the service maybe? Maybe he's going to have me do something special. He says, no, I want you to follow me to the van. I said, what van? He said, the homeless shelter van. He took me to the homeless shelter van. Now, this was a church that didn't have means and funds like other churches. So we had a homeless shelter bus, that ministry that we would do every Thursday. And he wanted me to make sure that the tires were at 30 PSI before they rolled out, because the back left one had a slow leak. And then we also had a radiator that had a slight leak in it too. So I would have to fill it up to make sure the radiator was topped off before they went out to go pick the people up. And I would have to hand wash the van to make sure that the van was washed well. So I got fancy on them, and I said, okay, no problem. I started taking the van to the car wash. Paid my own money to have the van washed. He found out, he flipped out, and he pulled the bucket out. You know what he did. He got the hot water out. He gave a towel to himself and began to hand wash the van that I just brought back from the car wash. I said, this is what I want. I want it hand washed every time you do it. And I sat and I cleaned buses. I'm anointed, but I'm cleaning buses. I'm appointed, but I'm cleaning homeless shelter bus. I'm cleaning feces off the seat, because homeless people, when they come in to the bus, you know, sometimes they haven't had an opportunity to freshen themselves. I'm cleaning up, spraying Febreze, and cleaning with scrubbing brushes every time we go to the homeless shelter bus, and gagging at the same time, because God is trying to break something in me so I can be ready for what I'm doing now. 2 years serving, doing nothing in that church, but getting healthy and strong, getting my marriage right, getting my kids on the right page, understanding the word of God, knowing how to quote scriptures. He had us memorizing scriptures. We would get up every morning and quote Psalms 23, Psalms 27, Psalms 91, Psalms 101, and Psalms 121 every single day. Every single one of those psalms deals with a different portion of your day that you're releasing into your atmosphere. And you would have to get up at 5 a.m. and do that and pray after you finish doing that if you wanted to be a leader in this church. God was taking me through a boot camp, and I didn't quite understand what he was doing, Pastor, but I knew that I had to submit to this thing. I didn't know why, but I knew I had to submit. I knew that I was greater than the toilets that I was cleaning. I knew that I was greater than the homeless shelter bus that I had to wash. I knew that I was greater than all of this stuff that I was doing, and I was frustrated, but I would not move. Stayed behind my Elijah. Cleaned and served, cleaned and served, cleaned and served. And then one day, I'm about to end this thing. We're going to pray, because I believe there's some purpose in the room we need to pray for. After cleaning the homeless shelter bus around my second year, I got home. It was a hot July Sunday. It was hot. When I say hot, it was hot. Okay, like 100 degrees hot. 100 degrees hot. Hot in Dallas, Texas, hot. Okay. And I was hot. My skin was burned from having sunburn, being out there washing that van. My neck was kind of on fire. And as I got home to my apartment, there was an African brother. Praise the Lord. There was an African brother in my apartment complex. African brother was putting flyers on doors with a three-piece suit on like it wasn't hot. I said, something's wrong with that brother. So I said, y'all go in the house. I'm gonna find out what this dude's up to. I walk up to this African dude. He says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, brother. God is so good, isn't he? God is so good. Hallelujah. Not breaking a sweat. I'm like, man, what is wrong with you? He began to tell me how God called him to America to be an evangelist in America because America needs Jesus. He's from a third world country, but he came to America to be an evangelist, and he was putting flyers out for a tent revival that God told him to hold down the street from where my apartments were. And as he began to tell me what the purpose that he was in Dallas for, God began to speak something in his spirit. It was one of those Holy Ghost moments. This was the most significant moment in my life. This was that moment, the defining moment that I knew that God had called me to do something great. And after all of these years of serving and being quiet and submitting to my Elijah, there here we are. This is a burning bush moment. Moses, this is a moment where God is about to speak to me. And now this man of God, I said, what has God shared with you to share with me? He said, oh my God, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for you, my brother. He said, in 3 years, God is going to use you as a youth and young adult pastor in the northeast region of the United States. God is going to send you to a school called Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas. Don't worry about you going to pay. God is going to make a way. When you go to this school, I want you to pay attention to the young adult portion, the youth portion, and the finance portion. Pay close attention. Those classes take very good notes. As he began to speak, something began to jump in my spirit. My baby began to leap because I knew that God had called me for something greater than just cleaning buses. And that moment he said that, and I said, oh my goodness, this is God. I ran in the house and I told my wife about it and what he had said. And my wife was said, okay, this is amazing. What is Christ for the Nations? We began to find out what Christ for the Nations was. I'd passed the sign all of my life in Oak Cliff and didn't know that it was a school underneath the sign. Went to the internet and looked it up, and then we looked it up, and then we turned on TBN that evening. And my youth pastor, Pastor Chris Hill, was being interviewed on TBN, and they were introducing him and giving his credentials. They said, he's the youth pastor at the Potter's House. He's an adjunct professor at Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas, Texas. This is the same day that the prophet has spoken to me and told me I'm going to go to a school called Christ for the Nations that I had no connections to. I immediately get on the phone. I call him. I tell him about the prophecy. He tells the school about the prophecy. The school says, we have a scholarship. We give 10 away per semester to African-American males from the Dallas-Fort Worth area that we give out, and it's tuition only. So if we give it to you, you're still going to have to figure out how you're going to do housing or if you're going to live off campus. And I said, I'll go for it. I applied to the school. I got accepted the same day that I applied, and now I had to wait for the process for them to find out if they picked me for the scholarship. Finally, the scholarship moment comes around. They come to me and they talk to me and they say, Ontario, we've got great news for you. You got the scholarship. But we decided to do something we've never done before. You have a family of four. So we've decided to create a scholarship that didn't exist. It's the Urban Leader Supreme Scholarship, to where we're going to give you an apartment. We're gonna guarantee the scholarship for 2 years with a third year option if you decide to go. Everybody else had to reapply every semester, and they might get it, they might not. They guarantee the scholarship for 2 years with a third year option. They paid all of my utilities and took care of everything. The housing, everything was taken care of, and they gave my wife a job in the admissions department. Don't you tell me God doesn't reward faithfulness. Don't you tell me that God doesn't open doors for people who will stay behind their Elisha. Stand to your feet. Elisha, you got to receive. You got to leave. You got to grieve. And you got to cleave. If you're going to get to where God called you to go, this is the antidote. I want to speak to some Elishas in the room. I know you're here, Elijah. You've been weary and confused because you've been stuck in neutral. God sent me with a word for you to get you unpaused, to get you out of neutral, and to kick you into overdrive. If you hear Elisha, I want to pray for you. I want to lay my hands on you and transfer an anointing to be an Elisha to whatever Elijah God has put in your life. Elisha, every head bowed, every eye closed. Elisha, if you're in this room, the Holy Ghost sent for you. He sent me to come speak to you tonight. He says, I got a purpose for you. I got a plan for you here in Joplin. I want to use you for my glory. Elisha, if you're in this room and you can hear my voice, the Lord says, meet me at this altar right now. Get here, Elisha. Get here. Elisha, don't you let yourself sit in that seat. Elisha, this is your day. You know that God has called you for such a time as this. You are chosen. This is the chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation that has been called out of darkness into his wonderful marvelous. Elisha, come out with your hands up, Elisha. I'm ready to lead you. I'm ready to lead you. I'm ready to take you where you need to go. I'm ready to grow you. I'm ready to get you where you need to be, Elisha. I need you here at this altar, Elisha, because I want to use you for my glory. I'm ready to take you places that you will never dream. Elisha, I'm ready to take you around the world. I'm ready to use you in a great way, but you got to submit to this process. Elisha, stop fighting this process. I got something for you, but I need you to submit. I need you to come under. I need you to come under and learn how to follow. Elisha, I need you to learn how to serve. I need you to learn how to serve something other than yourself. Just close your eyes and begin to meditate on the purpose of God. Let's worship a little bit. Let's stir the Holy Ghost right now. I believe God is about to transfer an anointing to you that's going to put you where you need to be. That's going to give you staying power. Come on, team. Give it to me. Give it to me. Come on. Shay Daba.
He's doing something right now. Just begin to receive it in the name of Jesus. Come on, just worship him. Come on, church. Cry out to him in this place. Come on. Come on, cry out to him in this place. Release the sound of worship in this atmosphere. Come on, Elisha. Come on. Raise up generation. Raise up generation. Raise up generation. Take your place, because you are chosen. Raise up generation. Raise up generation! Raise up generation! What? Come on! Come on, lift up your worship. Don't lift it to me. Lift it to God in this way. Yeah. And the praise is yours. You're the one. Come on, this is such a holy moment right now. Don't miss it. Raining over us. Come on.
Raining over us. As we lift you up.
You'll reign forevermore. Come on, I want to see every hand uplifted. Come on, God is in this place. Come on, sing it. And the praise is yours. Come on.
And the praise is yours. And the praise is yours. You're the one we bow before.
Come on, he's in this place right now. And he's reigning over us. Lift it up.
Reigning over us.
As we lift you up.
As we lift you up.
Now, come on, just close your eyes for a moment and just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it right now. Just what Pastor Ontario was saying, your hands have to be open and low and ready to receive it. Come on, just receive it. Just receive it. Come on, let the Spirit of God move in this place right now. In the name of Jesus.
As a sign of humility, I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to turn to somebody you don't know. And I want you to pray for them. And I want them to pray for you. Wait a minute. I want you to pray specifically for purpose and destiny to be released and to be revealed. That's all we're praying for. Amen. You don't need to rebuke no devils. You don't need to pray in tongues. I want you to pray in English. But let's release purpose in this room. And let's show forth some humility by allowing someone else to pray for you and you pray for them. Because the Bible says that the prayers, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. I want you to find somebody around you. Go find somebody that you don't know. Don't go to somebody you know. Find somebody that you don't know, preferably men with men, ladies with ladies. This is not a play moment. This isn't a social moment. This is a moment to really be serious. And I want you to pray for their purpose and their destiny like it was yours. And then I want you to switch and then you pray for theirs. Go.
Oh, oh.
Like you got the Holy Ghost. Come on, pray like it was your purpose. Pray like it was your destiny. Come against every attack of the enemy that would try to stop them from becoming what God called them to be. Yes.
Oh, This is warfare. Come on, lift it up, sing out. Come on, we're making war on the devil right now. He's not going to have this generation. He's not going to have us to lust, to pride. We're going to be a chosen generation. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, one more time, come on.
Pastor, hallelujah. Pastor, can you come here? I just want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Pastor, can you stand right there, center stage? If you work on the staff of this church in any capacity, whether it be part-time, full-time, doesn't matter. Can you all come behind this man of God? Just come stand behind him. If you're on staff and in a full-time or part-time capacity, come behind this man of God. Come close to him too. Don't be scared of him. Up here. There you go. Okay. Now, everyone else in this building that attends this church, I want you to stretch your hands towards Elijah. Your pastor. I want you to understand that God has placed him here for such a time as this. That God has placed him in this city, brought him to this city for this work that's going on right now in this city. I want you to understand that this is happening tonight because the vision of God that lives on the inside of him. I want you to understand that you are to value, treasure, uplift, pray for, follow, submit to this man and woman of God that he has placed in this place as your Elijah. That God has placed something in him that is valuable to unlock what's valuable in you. And as you submit to this man of God, I'm believing that God is going to release a double portion over everything that he's going to release you to do here as well, as you stay under his anointing. Can we pray for him? I want everyone in this room, whether you pray in the spirit, whether you pray in English, it doesn't matter. I just want you to take 30 seconds, and I want the staff, I want you guys to pray, and I don't want you to pray under your breath. I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to uplift him. I want you to uplift her, and I want them to feel the prayers of the righteous, the people that are in this place, that are behind them, that are their Elishas, that are ready to follow. Go, pray, open your mouth, let's go. Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. Come on, pray for your Elijah. Pray for your, cover him. Plead the blood of Jesus over his life, over his family, over his children, over his children's children. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, Elisha, pray for your Elijah. Come on, Elisha, you can pray better than that. Come on, tap in, tap in, tap in. Where's your Holy Ghost, Elisha? Where is your Holy Ghost, Elisha? Come on, pray for this man of God. Pray for this woman of God. Yes, 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 yes. Woo! God, I pray an increased anointing over his life. God, I pray a refreshing over his spirit. I pray a refreshing over her mind, Father. Let this mind be in her which was also in Christ Jesus. I pray for peace in their home. I pray for peace over their ministry. I pray for peace in the car when they drive. God, I pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding to rest on all of their children and the work that the children are doing. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. I come against contention. I come against every attack of the enemy. I plead the blood of Jesus over their minds, over their bodies. Their bodies will be healthy. Their minds will be healthy. Their souls will be healthy. We thank you for healthy leaders, Father. We thank you for your covering and your protection and your anointing to continue the work that you called him here to do. You called them here to do, and we stand behind them today, supporting and undergirding, holding up the hands of Moses so that he can continue to lead with strength and power and integrity. We bless you for it in Jesus' name. If you believe that, somebody shout amen. Come on, you can do better than that. If you believe it, shout amen.
Come on, one more time. Is he got a praise? Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Let the heavens open.
Hey,
let your kingdom move.
I feel God, y'all.
All our faith and hope. Our great God.
Come on, y'all. Something's about to break open.
Let the heavens open.
Yalabashata.
Let your kingdom move.
Come on.
All our faith and hope.
Come on, let's stir it up in this place right now. Let's break heaven open right now. Come on, sing it out.
So let the heavens open.
Come on.
Let your kingdom move.
Come on, all our faith.
All our faith and hope.
In our great God. Come on, lift it up. Sing it out. Let the heavens.
So let the heavens open.
Come on, if you want the heavens to open over this church, over this city, over this region, let's lift it up in this place. Come on, lift up your hands. Lift up your voices. Come on, let's go.
And let the no heaven locked up, let it open. No kingdom stand still, let it move. Our faith, our trust, our hope in our great God. Our great God,
come on.
So no heaven locked up, let it open.
Come on.
No kingdom stand still, let it move.
Hey.
Our faith, our trust.
Come on, church. Let's get into it. Right here. Come on, everybody. Let's go.
Say, no heaven locked up. Let it open.
Hey.
Our faith, our trust, our hope in our
faith. One more time. Come on, lift it up. Come on, come on.
So no heaven locked up. Let it open. Don't keep us.
Hey.
Our faith, our trust, our hope. Our great God, our great God.
Come on, come on, Elisha. Come on, lift up.
Now listen, I want to pray for you. Then we're going to close with one more big song, right? Okay. Catch your breath, Pastor TJ. Band, you ready? I want you to lift your hands one more time. I know you've been prayed for. I want to pray for you, Esther. Elijah of the house. God has called us to father a generation. God's called me to speak to a generation. I'm not going to run from that. I'm going to speak to it. I'm going to speak to you like a spiritual father. I'm going to call out the greatness of God in you. I'm going to love you even when you make boneheaded mistakes, and you're going to love me when I make boneheaded mistakes. And we're going to go out together, man. We're going to reach the kingdom of God with people who are making boneheaded mistakes just like us. We're going to go out there. God's called us to have an impact in this generation. It's time. It's time. Some of you need to find some toilets to clean. Some of you need to find some vans to clean. Some of you need to find some chairs to clean. Some of you need to find some people you can pick up and bring to church. See, Our idea is, well, Pastor Gene, when you call me out and you give me a platform, then I know I'm in ministry. No, ministry is what you're going to do tomorrow. What are you going to do tomorrow? See, that's what ministry's formed. And far too long in America, we've made ministry about what happens on the platform, and instead it's about what happens on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And so we're breaking that pride. We're breaking that pride and say, God, no, our generation is not going to carry that mantle no more. Our generation is not going to be about titles. Our generation is not going to be about prideful things and look how big my ministry is and this and that. No, our generation is about Jesus, lifting up the name Jesus, humbling ourselves before Jesus and say, God, we want to exalt you. And if you choose me to do that with one person, if you choose me to do that with the multitude, I'm about saying, Jesus, I'm ready. And so I'm calling out of you. I don't care. Today, if you sit before me, Pastor, you don't know. Who cares? I'm calling the greatness out of you. You've been covered by the grace of God. I'm calling the greatness out of you. We're going to call and challenge you. So if you're ready to say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm saying yes tonight. I want you to raise your hands. Yes to whatever God you asked me to do. God, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to quit waiting. I'm going to quit waiting for something to open up. And I'm just going to live my life every day saying yes. Today, God, what is the yes you want me to say today? Tuesday, what is the yes you want me to say? God, who do I need impact now? Father, right now, I speak over a generation as the father of them. Father, right now, the spiritual father, I call out the great things of God in their life. No longer to be a victim. No longer to be a victim of a fatherless generation. But God, they're going to step up. They're going to embrace their heavenly father. They're going to embrace their God-given destiny. And God, right now, I call greatness out of them in the workplace, in the education field. God, in their place, in their neighborhoods, in their ministry, in their local churches. God, I call greatness out of them, the great things of God. God, we release spirits of pride. And we say, yes, right now. God, may I transfer right now. God, begin to transfer that anointing right now, God, into them in Jesus' name. God, we call out greatness in Jesus' name. I come against every evil thought. I come against every self-doubt. I come against every negative word ever spoken to them. Every negative word spoken to them by a coworker, by a family member, by a spouse, by a sibling, by a friend, by an enemy. I come against every evil word spoken against them. And I say right now, Father, protect their mind. Those things are falling off in Jesus' name. And I speak the things of God. I speak the things of the Holy Spirit right now. God, you're allowing a boldness of the Holy Spirit to speak up in them, God, to lift them up in them right now. If you believe that, I want to say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, I receive that. Come on, raise your hands and say, God, I receive that, yes, in Jesus' name. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, a generation leading the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit, submitted to your will fully, going all in for their destiny in you. God, may we make a kingdom impact as we say yes, 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 and amen. Are you ready to close the singing out? One more time, put your hands together. Come on. You got a shout of praise?
Does anybody want to praise God one more time before we go home? I need to see y'all moving. Come on, put those hands together. We're going to have a good time. Here we go.
Staring into your eyes makes my heart come alive. Hey. Suddenly brought to life. I met you.
Come on, keep those hands going. Hey!
Reaching beyond the sky.
Hey!
Running deep, stretching wide. Perfect love realized in with you. Yeah, this love is for real. You will never let go. Never let go. Oh, it's more than just words left beyond my control. Out of control.
Come on, let me hear y'all sing it. Let's go. Let's sing.
This is real love. This is real love.
Put those hands. Come on. Let's go.
This
I need to see y'all moving. Y'all ready?
This
come on.
Is real
one,
love.
Two, three. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, let's sing it. Come on.
You're pulling me closer and closer.
Hey.
Holding my heart to the very end. Jesus, I'm found in your freedom.
Let's go.
This is real love.
Let's go.
This is real love. In my heart, I'm found. I want you. I want you. You won't let
me down. You've got me. You've got me. Let's go. Your love is for real. You will never let go. Let's go.
Never let go.
Come on.
Oh, it's more than just love. You're beyond my control.
Let's go. I need y'all to see y'all help me. Come on. Let's go.
Pulling me closer and closer.
Let's go.
Holding my heart to the very end. Jesus, I'm found in the freedom.
Let's go.
This is the love.
I need to see y'all go crazy. Let's go. Here we go. You're pulling me closer. Come on.
You're pulling me closer and closer.
Let's go.
Holding my heart to the very end.
Let's go. Jesus,
I'm down in the freedom.
All right, it's about to get crazy in here. Are y'all ready? Did anybody have a good time tonight? We about to go crazy. Are y'all ready? Here we go. Staring into your eyes makes my heart come alive. Suddenly brought to life when I met. Let's go! This is real life. Let's go! This is real. Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! This is real. Everybody head bang! 1, 2, 3, let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! One more time, come on!
You're pulling me closer and closer.
Hey!
Pulling my heart to the very end.
Let's go! Jesus, I'm found. Let's go! This is real love. This is real. Give him a shout of praise!
Come on, y'all, was this amazing? Listen, I totally forgot to tell you guys about something. Some of you guys came this morning. I wrote a book for Elijahs. It's an instruction manual. It's called The CEO Principle. It's gonna help you to understand how to be a leader amongst millennials. If God has called you out to be an Elijah, you need to get your hands on this card. It's only $15. It's an ebook. So you'll download it to your device and you'll put it on whatever it is that you wanna put it on, whether it be your iPad, whether it be your phone. It's a 35-page, 3-chapter book that's going to show you how to be a greater leader amongst millennials. Are you ready? So if you want to avail yourself to that, I'll be over at the table in the back corner over there. Minister Benjamin Halpin sitting over there, my best friend, my brother from another mother, right at the table. We'd love to see you guys over there. I'd love to shake your hand. God bless you guys for having me. I enjoyed myself.
Come on, one more time. Let's give it up for Pat. Come on. Did you guys have a good time tonight? Thank y'all so much for coming. Listen, don't let this die. Take this out for the rest of the week. Go back to your churches or come back to our church next Sunday, and let's keep this going, all right? Give somebody a hug or a high five and say, it was so good to see you tonight. God bless you guys. Be safe. We love you. Thank you for coming. 1, 2, 3, go.